Hold on to your butts, it's time for a new episode of Destroy All Culture, a sonic death ray from Dimension X that sounds exactly like a weekly podcast hosted by Adam P. Nave and Aiden Morgan. Exposure to Destroy All Culture is 100% fatal, so we put it on the internet. Now listen and die! Lethal effects may take up to 75 years.
Would you look at that? It's episode 142 of Destroy All Culture. I'm Adam P. Nave, and with me as always is Aiden Morgan.
It's time for the show.
It's time for the show. I almost wanted to go into the Muppets theme.
I know. It's a little Muppety there.
I had to fight that urge, and I'm not quite sure why I did, damn it. So you know, lots of stuff we didn't get to chat last week, but something you said right before, I kind of want to start with this now. S.H.I.E.L.D. has been back.
Yeah, and we...
For this weird sixth season.
Yeah. It is weird that it even exists, the sixth season.
Right.
Yeah. And we've got, I think, episodes 3 and 4. And
sure.
It's actually good that we've got both, because they seem to be adopting the strategy of just, for at least for now, of breaking up, like devoting entire show running times to individual groups of characters.
Right.
So as opposed to cutting back and forth. So it makes sense to be able to talk about two at a go here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So go for it. What are you thinking here?
Well, one thing sometimes when you watch a show, you watch it and then you skip on over to a review site so you can see what others thought. And I often go to AV Club, and often they're grumpier than I am when it comes to my television.
That is their remit, yes.
Yeah, but they are really grumpy with S.H.I.E.L.D. With episode 3, their grumpiness I thought was a little bit merited. But they seem to be annoyed that S.H.I.E.L.D. Like that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is enjoying itself this season and doing some sillier stuff in between the heavier action.
I mean, I get it, I guess. Like, it is doing stuff that it didn't do before, and that's a weird thing to do when you're changing, you know, when you're suddenly coming back after no one thought you would and all this.
Yeah, exactly.
But I like their weirdness. Like
me too. I enjoyed in say episode 3. I enjoyed everybody just getting horribly high on those puffs, and you knew what was going to happen. Right? You could just see them like just scarfing them down, and just sort of like no, just a little bit of setup, you know, earlier, and then just. Let's have them all trip balls. The one thing I thought it didn't quite work with, I recognize in retrospect what it was doing, because you start off with the first couple of episodes, we've had a very, very sort of like torture is okay Gemma, right?
Right.
And so they're setting up this conflict between Gemma and Daisy and the rest of the crew on the ship. And I think with Gemma and Daisy getting high and sort of blubbering out their feelings to each other, it's a way of resolving that conflict?
I don't think it is. I think it's a way... See, I read it as a way to ground the conflict for viewers who might be new to the show or, you know, whatever, just going that, yes, they're kind of infighting and all this, but, you know, deep down, like, they will eventually resolve this.
Ah, okay. Yeah, that's...
Like,
that's...
just kind of a little bit of a, I don't know, like a little bit of sugar for it. You know what I mean? Just...
Sure. Yeah, okay.
Because there are other relationships in the show that they are acting like they're permanently broken.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just felt kind of like, yeah, you know, they're fighting, but they're like really good friends and really good friends fight.
Yes.
Yeah. Which does downplay the nature of the fight, I admit.
I know. Yeah, when it's when it comes to like, you know, damaging and torturing people, it's like, oh, it's a fight. The stakes seem a little odd at that point. Which is, I think, is why I had trouble sort of parsing the way the emotions are working in that episode. But I still enjoyed it. I quite enjoy the more time we spend with the Chromacon, whose name I can never remember.
Christ, me either right now.
Yeah, the more I like that character. And whoever the actor is, just is doing like a terrific job.
I will say one bit threw me a little bit. Because it something with S.H.I.E.L.D., like, where they're, it's not that they're embarrassed by, although I'm sure they kind of are, and maybe should be, but they don't really reference the show before season three, almost ever.
That's true.
And just these suddenly, like, when we met you, you were in a van, and it, like, you know, boy, did that van stink. It's like, it did? And I was just like, yeah, that's true, that that van existed for, like, an episode.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's weird to call back to the pilot.
Yeah.
That just felt so out of the blue. Like, it's been all these years and all this stuff has happened in between that, like, even the show is just like, don't worry about it. And so for them to suddenly be like, remember this? It's like, I'm willing to bet that over half your audience doesn't.
Right.
And are now going, what?
And the other half is like, oh, yeah. Yeah, we remember. And we wish we didn't. Because I recently rewatched the pilot just out of curiosity. And
oh, okay.
Yeah, I think the only real word that came to mind was, yikes.
So yeah, it was just a weird choice to me.
Yeah, I thought, hey, I wonder. I was like, I remember the show not being that great in the first, you know, in the offing. And I looked, and I'm like, oh, right, no, it wasn't.
I also think they missed a chance, and maybe it was just stunt people, maybe it was just, you know, not something they felt like doing, but with, you know, them both hallucinating and stumbling around a bit, when you have Daisy go into a fight scene, they could have had more fun with it rather than just, well, she's drunk, but she could still fight almost perfectly fine.
Yeah.
It was a little, eh. But again, it was overall like a fun episode. Like, I enjoyed what they did. And yeah, the next episode, of course, we're back on Earth and following Deke, who we hadn't seen up till now.
Yay.
Is just all sorts of weird, like, that opening bit that was very much not this show. It was like, well, now we're in a different show.
Right.
Yeah, and I like that they did that. Like, it's a completely different show, and then they merge, and you're kind of back to the, yes, S.H.I.E.L.D. is a horror show.
Right, exactly.
Like, I like that they managed to pull that off.
Yeah, there are two very different tones going on. There's the Deke storyline, which is kind of horrific, but I mean, you've got that opening where he, like at the end, he literally looks into the camera. I'm like, wow.
Right.
And then you've got the yo-yo storyline, in which your new boyfriend essentially, you know, gets infected by an alien bat and then kind of turns into crystals. And that was,
wow. No, that was terrible, except I couldn't get over them constantly calling it a bird.
Yeah, me too. I'm like, that's a bat.
I'm like, it's a fucking bat. Come on. The Deke looking to the camera, like, would have annoyed me if we hadn't seen someone filming it with their phone first.
Well, exactly.
Like,
yeah,
if it had been a fourth wall break, it would have pissed me off. But the fact that they made it so that it very obviously wasn't.
Yeah, exactly. No, he was obviously being filmed. I thought that was all just great. I mean, it functioned as like a fourth wall break behind a barrier, I guess you could say.
Right. Like, yeah. They have the fun of a fourth wall break without actually having to commit to one, because that wouldn't be this show.
Exactly. And I also love the fact that he's setting himself up as a tech guru, like basically a Zuckerberg / you know, Jobs, but with stolen tech, and their S.H.I.E.L.D. has like been watching him all this time.
Right.
Which I kind of enjoyed. Just sort of like, you thought you could get away with this? Like, what?
Yeah, I mean, well, also, like, why would they let, like, Future Boy wander around doing whatever? Like, the fact that they let him do as much as he does is kind of interesting.
Yeah, even that's surprising. I'm like, how are they going to work this? And they're just
like, why would they ever be like, sure, you can use the framework. Just, that's fine. Just put it out there.
Yeah. But that's when you get the creepy joke of, like, Mac seeing the framework and seeing, like, that version of the version of Daisy. And it's like,
right.
Ooh, that's...
And I feel like that's a bury for a later in the season when Daisy gets back.
Right.
Hopefully. But yeah, no, again, like, I think S.H.I.E.L.D. is having fun, and I think it's good that they're having fun and, you know, doing horror stuff and comedy stuff. And, like, again, there's that sure-footedness that they've kind of earned at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
So,
also getting to see Mac fight was...
it's been a while.
It's been a while. And, of course, the appearance of the shotgun axe in the framework.
Right.
Was pretty excellent. I love that bit. I was like, because I was watching, I'm like, okay, is Deke now a movie star?
Right, that's what it felt like.
Yeah. So I was just thinking, I was all in for that, but at the same time, there is a similar episode of Lucifer that I'd seen just a couple of weeks ago, where they actually fake out a character's death by revealing that in this alternate reality she's an actress, but like it's set instead of a cop, right? Which is what her backstory was that she was an actress who became a police detective. Anywho, so I was like, oh, I don't want to see this again. So Framework will do.
Oh, fine. Yeah. Well, also, last week and this week. We had the end of Doom Patrol, the start of Swamp Thing, and the aborted start of Young Justice. Can I just tell you?
Yeah.
On the DC streaming service, because I know, like, you guys get it somewhere else, right?
Right.
Well, on the DC streaming service, if you go to a show, it'll tell you, like, when you watch an episode, like, the day it's released, the next episode has, like, you know, 7 days. Like, it'll have a little marker for when it's airing.
Mm-hmm.
Not a date, but just how many days it is.
Right.
Away. And the Young Justice episodes, like, earlier this past week, had, like, I guess when the Doom Patrol aired, I was like, isn't Young Justice coming out next week? So I went and looked at Young Justice, and it was like, the next three episodes were all marked 7 days.
Oh.
Because that's originally when they were supposed to air, was this last Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And then so comes this Friday, like, I get time, and I'm like, okay, load up DC Universe, I'm all excited, you know, and they're back to this summer. And I was like, what the fuck? And apparently they moved them to July. And I have a theory why.
Do tell.
Because Swamp Thing was so publicly a mess.
Mm.
You know, they cut the episode order from like 13 to 10.
Like in the middle of
filming. No warning.
Yeah.
And the cast and crew were really upset about it. And everyone's like, this wasn't the show that they wanted. And no one knows what's going on with it. I think that they were like, you know what? People might just not watch it now. But if we don't give them anything, like if we don't have Young Justice running right alongside it, maybe those people will be like, well, I guess I'll watch Swamp Thing since it's here. and try to get more eyes on it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because they know Young Justice is going to do great.
Right. Yeah.
And this way, if Swamp Thing does badly a couple episodes into it, if people are like, meh, they'll have Young Justice and they'll still have the weekly viewers.
Mm-hmm.
So, to kind of take them to the end of Swamp Thing. Like, that's all I could figure, because the episodes we know were done.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, yeah, it seemed to, I figure they must just be, made a scheduling decision to, like, stretch out original programming in order to keep viewership, essentially, at a certain level.
Yeah, but like...
My feeling is a little different than yours, was they figured that, that they had enough... That there was enough interest in Swamp Thing that people would watch it, and that they could move Young Justice to a little later to like so, sort of like keep a more even stream. Cause, or maybe not that. Maybe they were like, well, if we have Swamp Thing and Young Justice running now, what are we gonna have in a month or two? And they're like, oh,
well, I mean,
shit.
It's supposed to be just Swamp Thing after a bit, and then when Swamp Thing ends, now it's Titan season 2 starts up.
Oh right, okay.
So,
yeah,
it's like they have that plan. It was just like Young Justice was the first thing to kind of run concurrently.
Right.
And I mean, it still will. It'll just run off the back half of Swamp Thing instead of the front half. And it's just, it's a weird choice. And what pisses me off is that there was no warning.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they send me email because you're on the service. Like, they send you email. There should have been, frankly, an email going, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, we removed this and here's the new release date. They sent nothing. I had to, like, dig around.
That's weird.
And I don't think there was like an actual like firm announcement anywhere. It's very weird.
Huh. DC Universe doesn't care about its fans. Oh, let's start this here. Let's
nice.
Let's start an extended angry move. Let's start a petition.
I like it. But yeah, before we get to Swamp Thing, Doom Patrol ended.
Right. Yes. Boy, did it ever.
And unlike Titans, there is still no word on a season 2.
Yeah, that's a shame. I really hope they get a season 2.
I wonder if the Warner's thing is what's holding it back.
Maybe.
Because they might still not be sure of how they're folding stuff in.
Right. That's possible.
But I just, in terms of critical acclaim, I cannot imagine that they'd kill this show.
Yeah, it's kind of one of their biggest prestige pieces so far. You know, and I wonder, actually, now that I look at... The way Doom Patrol storyline played out, and the fact that they got cold feet with Swamp Thing, Maybe they looked at Doom Patrol and went, this is nuts. This is, why the hell did we let these people just do this? And they went overboard with trying to, like, control Swamp Thing.
Maybe. I mean, but again, like, they greenlit a second season of Titans. Well, and I'm Titans, not saying that, like, Titans is a bad show, but it's just, I don't know. I feel like they put so much work into Doom Patrol, and they pushed it so hard, like, with the Titans episode and all this.
Oh, yeah.
That they, I can't imagine that they're not backing it at this point. Like, and again, like, for all we know, the Warner thing might mean that the DC Universe subscription goes away except for comics.
Right.
Like, the original TV shows just go away and fold into Warner's.
I don't know.
And they'll, maybe we'll start some stuff back up, or, again, like, my current guess is it'll be like the Disney thing, where it's like Hulu's separate service, and you can, you know, bundle them.
Right.
But yeah, it could just be that they're working that out, so they're just not renewing anything. But because they're not talking, because why would they? You know, we're just out in Ghostland. But as far as the finale goes, yikes.
But yikes in a good way.
Oh, yes.
Not yikes as in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. pilot yikes, but...
Right. No, I mean, they went full on the painting that ate Paris.
Oh, jeez. Yes.
Because that's where that comes from. They just, the entire plan that, like, makes no sense at all, but fuck it.
Yeah. No, it was so strange. I mean, it was so, that entire finale was just such a bizarre, I know there was a plot. But it barely felt like it. It didn't matter. It was just, it was like an experimental collage at points. And just like, let's have a giant cockroach and a giant rat tongue kiss each other. Let's, in order to get Robot Man to climb out of one stomach and so on and so forth. It's, it was a thing. And I don't think I've ever seen anything like it before. Like, and I don't know if I will again, unless they greenlight.
Right. Well, I mean, and that's the thing is, like, at the end, they changed the history of a character a little bit to do it, but they're introducing Dorothy Spinner.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Who in the comics just isn't the chief's daughter, but she has the ability to bring her imaginary friends to life.
Oh, nice.
Which eventually, like, includes, like, a fake chief and a fake, like, Cliff and one being that isn't an imaginary friend of hers, but pretends to be.
Oh, nice.
So look out for the Candlestick Man.
Okay.
who is a problem. Like, and that is a lot of the Dorothy plot that, like, I'm willing to bet that if they do a second season, that's where they'll live. Partially because that also requires the death of the chief. And I'm willing to think that just given how limited and how many problems they have with the chief as a character, right? Like, I mean, that's the inherent Doom Patrol issue.
Mm-hmm.
Given what a bastard he is, like, how do you use him? And the fact that Timothy Dalton doesn't come cheap.
Well, yeah, I mean, they always say, like, throughout that first season, it was like special appearance by Timothy Dalton, and that always tells me that a character is just not gonna be a regular on the show. They're always sort of there to possibly get written off in some way. So
right, and this gives them the way to write off the chief and have the rest of the team stick together.
Mm-hmm.
And again, go even weirder, which is the thing.
Yes,
is that the Dorothy stuff gets even weirder.
Ooh,
so, yeah, I am hoping that they do what they did with Titans, which is release it on things like Amazon Prime. You know, you have to pay for it, like I think like iTunes.
Right.
Or it's like $20 to watch season, and eventually like a Blu-ray, just because, again, like if they announce a Blu-ray for Doom Patrol, so many people I know what their Christmas gift is this year, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like, here you go, I'm going to fuck you up for a couple hours, like,
yep.
Enjoy.
No, if Doom Patrol comes out in Blu-ray, I barely buy Blu-rays anymore, but that will be on it, that will be on my list.
Yeah. So, yeah. And of course this week, as we've already mentioned, the slot for this was replaced by Swamp Thing.
Swamp Thing!
Which sure is a show.
Yeah, you know, at the end of the episode, I thought, I will watch episode 2 of Swamp Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it definitely had its moments. I think it's got a few. There's some creaky bits. They put some pretty torturous dialogue or monologue into good actors' mouths. So that's how that is. I mean, there are some definite pluses. Like, I actually quite like. Like, I thought they did a good job of establishing. They have one episode essentially to get Abby Arcane and Alec Holland to like together to like sort of suggest the romance that will come, right?
Right.
So I thought they did a good job of giving them some like chemistry and flirtatiousness and such. So I'm more willing to buy into, you know, her falling in love with a plant man.
Sure. I mean, on. I think they established the world really well.
Yeah.
It and again, like, it's supposed to be like it's a horror show. It's not, you know, like Titans or anything like that, and that's fine. I just I'm in for the second episode. Mm-hmm. Just so far, I'm not sure it's my show. Like, it's perfectly well done, you know. I think part of it might be that the last show I watched that was set in this vague type of area was True Blood.
Oh, I was thinking,
and True I keep Detective. Kind of expecting. Well, no, I mean, I watched True Detective, but it didn't stick in my head. You know, I watched seven years of True Blood.
Of course. Yes, of course.
And so I kind of keep expecting that tone to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, and not in a good way. and so when it doesn't, I'm both happily surprised and a little bit thrown.
Yeah. I mean, I thought they were going to lean into sort of more sort of like Southern Gothic camp, frankly,
right.
On the show.
And they might.
They may well. But it gets tiresome when you get a bunch of actors trying for like Louisiana accents and failing. But
right.
It seems in this case nobody's even bothering, and I kind of wish they would bother a little more.
Yeah. It's a perfectly fine show. Just it isn't really gripping me yet.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like, Titans didn't really grip me
in
the first episode. It took a while.
Yes.
And again, like, my love for Dick Grayson, like, is what showed me through there, and I don't really have love for Swamp Thing.
Right.
You know, Doom Patrol obviously just grabbed us all by the neck in, like, inside, like, 20 minutes.
Yes.
But, and that's the other thing, is, like, had it been Titans, Swamp Thing, then Doom Patrol, I probably would have been more into Swamp. I'd be like, yeah, okay.
Yeah,
it's just
exactly.
Following Doom Patrol as, like, here's the weekly thing you're going to see on the weekly live-action thing, at least, that you're going to see on the DC Universe shows was just, wow, you don't want to be the thing following Doom Patrol.
No, you do not. No.
Because even if you're not playing in the sandbox, because God forbid anything else try to play in that sandbox.
Jeez. Yeah.
Like, you're going to, unless they were like, also, now we're getting to the Invisibles. It's just the Grant Morrison channel.
Hey.
I could
manage that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Give me some of that. But yeah, no, yeah, I mean, yeah, Swamp Thing, I think, yeah, I mean, I like that they at least lean into some of the original aspects, like, you know, keeping a character named Abby Arcane, for example, that's pretty good.
And having no one have a problem with that name.
Yeah, I know. And they've got some really good sort of acting, you know, acting talent on this. Like, they've got, you know, Virginia Madsen and Will Patton. So, I mean, they've got lots of, you know, actors who are recognizable but aren't, they're not like celebrities, but they can really bring a lot of performance power to the show. So that's good. I mean, I did like seeing that.
The DC Universe shows have excellent casting.
They really do.
Titans, like I said, like, even though Titans is kind of the weakest of the shows so far, and I do like the show, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But it is kind of, it's a little bit weaker than Swamp Thing, just, again, my love for Dick Grayson. But, like, all the casting is just so on point with it.
Mm-hmm.
And Swamp Thing does continue that. Like, the guy they have playing Abby's kind of medical partner, whose name I can never remember, but I love seeing him in things.
I know. I can never remember his name either. And it's because I looked at the credits because I was like, who is that guy? But he just pops up everywhere. He's like one of those quintessential, hey, it's that guy, like Asian version, basically. Also one speaking of which, I am one of the most interesting things I've seen on television in the last few years is this preponderance of or rise of like Asian actors who aren't either stereotypes or there to explore Asianness. They're just there, and it's really
right.
It's really nice.
Yeah, Leonardo Nam is
Leonardo Nam. That's it. Thank
he's
you.
In Westworld. He's that doctor in Westworld.
Oh, he's so good in Westworld. Yeah.
He's such
a hapless guy in Westworld.
Like, yeah, weirdly, he was in the Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift. I guess not weirdly, but just.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I knew.
And past
I
that, he's done just a bunch of stuff, you know. Yeah. But yeah, no, I love him in Westworld, and that's like he has such a weird range.
Yeah.
Like in
a
great way.
Yeah. No, he's playing like in Westworld. I mean, his character was so hapless, right? He was just
right.
He played that so nicely, but there's no trace of that in his performance here. He's just he's just like this really solid person in Swamp Thing. So yeah, that'll be good. Gosh, sorry, my cat is being stupid. Stop being stupid, cat. Anyway.
I am a fan. I'd say, like I said, like the casting alone, and like you were talking about, the actors and the chemistry, it makes me think that there is hope.
Yes.
That the show could turn into something interesting. If it ever did get a second, which I'm sure it won't get a second season, given that they chopped the first season out. And I'm almost glad just because they would have eventually had to cast a Constantine, and I bet you money they wouldn't use Matt Ryan.
Oh, probably not.
And I am firmly and forever now against using anyone else.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Yeah, I mean, it was fun seeing him on his own show, but his turn as Constantine on Legends of Tomorrow just made he's like the Constantine.
Yeah, well, and all the animated stuff that they've done the last couple of years that uses Constantine, he's done it.
Yeah.
And like I said, he said he was up for doing it on Swamp Thing if they ever needed to cast the character, but that doesn't mean that they'd actually say yes.
Yeah, exactly. But that would be fantastic. I would.
Yeah. Again, he should just be playing Constantine. Like that's.
Yeah. Exactly. For the rest of his life.
I mean, as long as he wants to, at least.
Yep, I agree. No. Actually, even if he doesn't want to, you put him in a cage.
Oh, okay.
And you bring him out and make him play Constantine.
Gotcha.
You know, dance like Constantine. dance
Jesus.
More. Oh, this is my Matt Ryan fantasy. I don't know about yours.
It does not involve that. Actually, we never talked about the Legends finale, did we?
I don't think we did.
Jesus Christ, that fucking thing. That fucking show. Can I just say, like, my favorite bit in there has to be... Okay, so every show, every one of the four kind of CW shows, right?
Yeah.
Is ending with some level of crisis input.
Right.
Like, Arrow very heavily, obviously, that next season will be nothing but.
Yes.
But Flash has the Monitor kind of show up.
So does Legends.
Well, and Supergirl has the Monitor show up and do a very interesting thing.
Okay, I have not seen that.
He shows up and does a very interesting thing. And like I said, like, you know, he's somewhere in the Flash episode. And so, like, okay. Like, the Monitor keeps showing up, and it's this hint of thing. And then he shows up in Legends. In, like, the circus tent. And at first he's like, oh, and you're like, oh, what's he gonna do? Eat popcorn and watch the show. Like, holy shit!
Yeah, that's, I don't know, I'm not sure how to put into words what they were doing there, but it was delightful.
Well, I think it was that combined with the, we should have done the crossover.
Yeah, exactly, yes.
That was just like, we will next year, kids, don't worry. You know, it was just, fuck.
Yeah, and just I think the finale of the season more than ever, well, you know, and with what is it? Sarah Lance says, well, sometimes we screw things up for the better. I mean, basically
it's Nate.
Was it Nate? Okay, yeah, basically positing them as like just essentially these clueless doofuses who somehow don't die and don't destroy everything. Nothing says it better than like they're absolutely ridiculous plan to put on a show at an amusement park with monsters, then how badly it fails immediately here. And I loved it. I was like, because I was watching, I'm like, are they actually going to like go for this bizarre ending? And then as soon as they try it, like as soon as they try to have like the miniature play guitar, kids are like, ah, boo. I'm like, yes, good, failed.
Yeah.
As it should, because it's stupid.
I love the whole Sarah and Nate, like, you know, look, it's the Flash over there. He's already gone. All their dialogue was like first season CW show, which is what made it work.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was probably about as meta as the show has ever gotten, and it was kind of delightful.
Yeah. I am interested to see how we get Zari back. Because, like, you know, this show, given everything else they do, like, we'll get her back, but she'll be a slightly different character?
Yeah, exactly. We'll get a different Zari, though, from either a different timeline or, I mean...
Or their reset of things.
Right? I mean, if we're going to have Crisis, we're going to get, like, different, you know, universes collapsing into each other. And who knows, right? There's all kinds of possibilities open up at that point.
Right.
And, yeah. I just love the fact that they have, like, this guy... And now just suddenly there, kind of like a quintessential Roy from The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, just the suddenly eating popcorn, that shot was just motherfuckers.
Yeah, yeah.
Like even the monitor's just like, look at these assholes. Like it's just...
Exactly. It's like, you probably know how this is going to turn out, but you can't look away.
Yeah, it's like he looks amused.
Yes.
And again, it's like, here are the idiots with like... A time travel device. Maybe you should take them. No, don't take them seriously. Don't do it.
Yeah, it's excellent.
Oh, God. Also, however, this last week, Good Omens dropped.
Yeah. Now I've just gotten about through halfway through the first episode. Okay. So far, very much feels like a show that I should like. You know, it's sort of like, Aiden, what's your dream show? And then they hand you this, and you're like, yep, that's my dream show. I don't know. I'm a little lukewarm at the moment, but
I wonder if it's why a lot of people are and why I'm not. Huh. That's what's making me curious.
Okay, and I'm not sure. I'm honestly not sure why I'm lukewarm.
Okay.
Because it should be, it should have me completely. I mean, you know, it's Terry Pratchett. There's, you know, you've got, you know, what's David Tennant as a demon, and so on and so forth. And it kind of feels like a very, very twisted Wings of Desire, which I quite like. John Hamm as Gabriel is a great touch. You know, and it's the sort of thing I love, and I have a feeling if I stick with it, I will enjoy it more.
Well, I mean, the best thing about the show, hands down, is of course just watching Sheen and Tennant just play against each other.
Oh, exactly. I mean, that's why you tune in. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, that's why.
Yeah.
That's why I decided I wanted to see it, because for that very reason.
I will tell you that the opening, and by opening I mean like the first half. I think the credits come in, like, seriously, at the halfway point of the episode.
Oh.
The first half of the third episode is going to be a delight for you then.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, it's fantastic.
I'm hoping it's the two of them throughout history.
It is.
Yes! Excellent. I was kind of waiting for this. And I thought, what are we going to get, like, something like that? So,
yep.
Awesome.
I have seen, because I was looking around, you know, just seeing what other people were saying, seeing what reviews were, because I do the same thing. And I've seen a bunch of people who feel that and I can't say that they're wrong, that the narration is too heavy-handed. I'm wondering if that's what's hitting you, just because they have a tendency, especially in the first episode, for like the narration to tell you something, and then the dialogue tells you the same thing.
Yeah, that is, I did notice that. Also, I as much as I like Frances McDormand, I just think God should have a British accent.
That's fair. I think it works well, and it never quite goes away, right? Like at least I've seen three episodes. The over narration never quite goes away.
Yeah, all right.
I have, like, it makes it feel like the Hitchhiker's Radio drama. for me.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's not a great look for a TV show, but that's okay.
Yeah.
But I have a theory as to why it's happening.
Oh, do tell.
You know, Gaiman himself wrote all 6 episodes.
Okay.
And it's not that he overwrote, it's that he was keeping as much raw Pratchett as he could.
Ah, there you go.
And I'm like, just for that alone, just that feeling alone, I'm like, I forgive it.
Yep. So honoring Pratchett.
Yeah, I mean, and again, like, the show isn't perfect. Like, it's a little messy. It works best, again, when, you know, when Sheen and Tennant are working together. And I like all the changes so far.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's a big change with Anathema.
Oh. I will watch and see.
Yeah, no, and I think it works though. And that's the thing, it's like I'm okay with all the changes. I think they're actually all smart, fun changes. And I think overall it does work. It's just like the book, as much as I love the book. It is the weakest when it's everywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. But again, like, I haven't gotten to the four other horsemen of the apocalypse, you know? Like, and that's the weird thing, is the pacing on this is kind of like the pacing on the book. Where it's like, you're 3 episodes in, and now you're like a day away. But that also means that, like, everything is still to come.
Right.
Like, yeah. We've only gotten 2 of the horsemen so far.
Oh, my. How many episodes are there?
6.
6, okay.
There are changes, and again, so far they all work. But, yeah, there is a lot of kind of overwriting going on, but I really do think it's just to keep Pratchett's actual words alive.
Okay, I can...
And yeah, I can't like swear to it. Like, no one said anything, you know.
Right. I can... And if that's the case, then I can forgive some of the writing.
Right, like... I mean, and frankly, like, I've watched, like, a few of the BBC, like, Discworld stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never liked any of them.
I don't think I've ever tried any of those.
Like, Hogwatch and all... Hogs... You know, like, the... I've tried, like, some of them, and Hogfather, and I know people love some of them, and they've never really worked for me.
Hmm.
But this does, and I think it's just... actor and again, like, I think Gaiman is hewing close enough to.
Right.
Also, I think that they have, and I can't swear to it because we haven't come across him yet, but I heard a rumor, and I didn't want to look it up and like confirm it, but I think Brian Blessed is the voice of Death.
Oh, sweet.
And if that's true, that is amazing.
Yeah, and I mean, you'll know as soon as you hear the voice.
Well, yeah, you can't really mistake him for anything.
Exactly. Oh, that's delightful.
But yeah, it's...
Did you, by the way, there's there's a show, British show, another Russell Davies show, called Years and Years.
I have heard nothing about this.
It follows a British family through essentially the near future.
Okay.
I think it's supposed to be like an anatomy of Britain, or at least, you know, Russell Davies' Britain. And it's got Emma Thompson as kind of a sort of a Theresa May character who sort of leads Britain into something. I'm not sure what. I'm not sure if it's going to like get into the weeds of like, you know, a Brexity world or whatever. But yeah, it's. I just thought I would mention it to you just in case you'd heard about it.
Yeah, no, I hadn't. I should look that up.
But yeah, just watching the trailer. Yeah, Years and Years. Just watch the trailer and it's like, holy crap, is it ever Russell Davies?
Nice.
Like, he's just kind of unmistakable, right? You know.
Yeah, I miss Russell Davies' particular brand of weirdness.
Me too. Me too. He's just reminds me in some ways. I think his particular voice is like so stylized that you kind of have to be a Davies fan. In some ways, it sort of feels in some ways like Joss Whedon. Just
yeah,
so particular.
Well, and that is the weird thing about Good Omens for me, frankly, is I've seen Tennant in other things, and you know, like, I mean, most recently I think like Jessica Jones,
right.
And it clicked a little bit in Jessica Jones, but oh man, does it feel it in this, is that his just natural cadence and delivery is what he was using for the Doctor, right? Like when he's not using his full Scottish accent.
Yeah.
And I think maybe in Jessica Jones it didn't hit because he was just this character doing this thing, but having him be this sort of immortal character with the weight of the years behind it and everything else was throwing off the... Wait, is he like the Doctor? A little bit. And now I just desperately want to see David Tennant do a line reading that isn't that.
Yeah, I can see what you're...
Not that it's bad. Like, I love that line reading, but it's like I want to... I kind of want to get something different every now and then.
I get it. The casting is so perfect for the two characters that you feel it's almost a little bit on the nose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and originally, apparently, I saw an interview that Sheen was supposed to actually play Crowley.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
And that he felt that he shouldn't. And that Gaiman, when he wrote it, was kind of like, maybe he shouldn't, but neither one like initially had said anything. And they both kind of broke down and told each other that at the same time.
Oh, that's interesting. I mean, I can see Sheen doing either. Actually, I can see both doing, like, reversing the roles.
Right.
And being able to be quite successful at it. I can't. But I mean, really, Tennant as Crowley is such a great idea.
Yeah, and that thing's like it worked completely.
Yes.
So
I think so. I will. By the time we record our next podcast, I'll probably have watched all of Good Omens. So we.
Oh yeah, no, me too. I've been kind of doling it out.
Yeah. Anyway, I need to cut this off a little early because
that works for me.
Really in distress right now, and I just need to see what's going on.
Oh, you go do that, and we'll be back next week with more Good Omens and other assorted things.
Assorted things.
All right, cool. Music. Yay!
Music. Woo!